Okay. Honorable members, you are most welcome to this ad hoc committee meeting, which is the takes place at a crucial time when we are expected to conclude our work. And you will agree with me that we afforded all political parties an opportunity to hold bilaterals and seek to find one another. And I trust that those bilaterals will contribute to our discussions today, because today our focus is going to be on the text and to enable us to compile a report for submission to the House. So today we are not going to talk about politics around any issue. We're going to talk about formulations of the amendment bill, which is what our mandate requires of us. So I also received a letter from the Chair of Chairs directing us to hear the opinion of the Parliamentary Legal Services and expressing serious concerns about what happened in the previous meeting, where allegations were made against the Parliamentary Legal Services. And I want to appeal to the members that today we are going to have a briefing by the Parliamentary Legal Services. And I want to repeat what I said before, that if you put 100 lawyers under one roof, you are likely to get 100 legal opinions. So legal opinions are also not binding on the people that requested them. They are given to assist, to advise, but the person advised is free to agree and disagree without casting aspersions on the people that provide the legal opinion. So please, I'm happy also to announce that this issue of allegations was raised in the parliamentary in the parliament programming committee, and the view there was that whoever has allegations, they must bring a substantive application. But today our mandate is not to receive substantive documents about allegations. Our mandate is to deal with the text. So I want to appeal to all of you that let's listen to the legal opinion, engage with the text, and seek to reach finality on the matter. Because the failure of this ad hoc committee to produce a satisfactory report has serious consequences for this country. You will agree with me that already we see unrest all over. We see land invasions because our people are impatient. They want access to land. There's a triple challenge of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And all these challenges can only be addressed meaningfully and successfully if the land question is resolved. Failure to resolve the land question will be tantamount to planting a time bomb in one's own house and that will bring the whole house down. So we have a great responsibility placed upon our shoulders to deal with this national question. And I want to repeat again that this matter is not a matter between the ANC and the DA, or the DA against the EFF or IFP against Freedom Front. This is not deal with this. We put aside our party political affiliations and put the best interest of all South Africans, both black and white, high on the agenda. We, all of us, however small your party is, we represent all the people of South Africa, and the constitution is a document that must contain the will of the people as a whole. So, honorable members, let's be adequate to our task. Let's deliver to the people of South Africa. And to the needs of this country and its people. I have not spoken to the committee secretary about inviting the legal services people, because I've just seen the letter now. I wonder if they are in the house, on the platform.
We are, Chair.
Wonderful, wonderful. Please relax. Advocate. Relax. And I really must apologize for what happened in the last meeting. And I can assure you that you have my support. And I have no doubt that you have the support of the majority in this in this committee. But you know, this is a political platform. In a political platform, you can expect anything. But I will protect you, and I think this committee will protect you. We value your services. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask to share my screen?
Yes.
So I'm just waiting for Bonani to... So I will be very brief, Chair, this afternoon, committee. The legal opinion that was requested was on amending the current version of the constitution of our bill. And the legal question was whether the committee may make further amendments to the bill that had been advertised for public comment in the Government Gazette of 13 December 2019. That's better. And the answer is very simple. It's yes, the committee may make amendments to the draft bill prior to the introduction to the National Assembly, regardless of the fact that the draft itself was published. And the legal reasoning behind this is based on the National Assembly rules. The rules on the committee bill says Rule 2742, which says that if the committee chooses in terms of Rule 295 to publish the draft bill, it is not bound to publish the bill as it is to be introduced. Further, 275D says before introducing its bill, the committee may, in view of any comments received, adjust the bill for its introduction. The rule on the Constitutional Amendments Bill is Rule 2953.
Recording stopped.
It does say that if the draft bill itself,
recording in progress,
as it is to be introduced, is published, a memorandum setting out the objects of the bill must be published. And 2953 says when a draft bill is published, that draft must then be introduced with no further amendments. However, there is an explicit law that special provisions override general ones. The National Assembly Rules 274 and 275 are specific or special provisions that govern and apply to committee bills, and therefore they override the rules. The process, however, in amending the bill will involve consultation. The recommended process on subsequent amendments that are materially or substantially change the content of the bill or extend the scope of the bill, you'll have to look at section 74.5, led with section 59 of the Constitution. The committee must then call for comments, amendments to be forwarded to the provincial legislature for their views. And this is based on a couple of judgments. Firstly, the Truworths versus Minister of Trade and Industry, where the minister in that case changed the draft regulations in a material aspect, and therefore calling for further comments might, under certain circumstances, be advisable. And then the second judgment is the South African Veterinarian Association versus Speaker of the National Assembly and others. And in this case, the alteration of Section 16 of that amendment bill added the requirement that veterinarians be licensed to compound and dispense medicines. And an extension of, this was in essence an extension of the subject of the bill, for which the committee ought to have sought the National Assembly's permission. And then the final constitutional judgment that we considered was the Doctors for Life International versus Speaker of the National Assembly. And in dealing with that matter, the standard of reasonableness and the reasonableness of public involvement was considered, and the nature and the importance of the legislation and the intensity of its impact on the public must always be taken into account. So if I can summarize that again, where there are material changes to the bill, you will have to then call for public comments. And then finally, the process required when amending the bill. And we then looked at permission. The recommended process on amendments that constitute new ideas. We recommend that the committee errs on the side of caution to ensure that compliance with the procedural requirements are met. And we recommend that the committee request permission for new ideas that do not directly relate to making explicit that which is implicit in respect of expropriation without compensation for the purposes of land reform. And we base this legal reasoning on a procedural view that we requested from the NA table. So in our opinion, we actually inserted the opinion by the NA table, and I'm going to read it out for the committee. The NA table held that the specific mandate of the committee starts from paragraph 3 of the resolution. The paragraph before that provides the background. What is thus important is to consider what the impact of paragraph 3b is in respect of this mandate. With hindsight, the resolution could have mentioned section 2, subsection 2 and 3 of section 25 of the Constitution. This notwithstanding, when the House considers this matter, it had in mind what was recommended by the Constitutional Review Committee, namely that there is a need to amend section 25 of the Constitution to make explicit that which is implicit in the Constitution with regards to expropriation of land without compensation as a legitimate option for land reform in order to address the mischief identified by that committee. It is our understanding that the bill that was advertised dealt only with subsections 2 and 3 of section 25 of the Constitution. If this is correct, it would be procedurally safe for the committee to invoke the provisions of Rule 286, 4B and C. These provisions require the committee to seek the permission of the House to inquire into extending the subject of the bill or amend other provisions of the legislation not contained in the amendment bill. It should, however, be borne in mind that this approach entails obtaining further public inputs, specifically on new and additional focal points. And that is the end of my brief presentation. This is just an overview of what the opinion had said, Chairperson. And I'm sure all the members of the committee have a copy of the opinion itself, which is more extensive. You're muted, Chair.
Where is the chair?
I can assist Mumam Papa into chair.
You still have a chair.
Yes, he will is there for life.
Did he step aside?
Yeah, no, this is Africa. The chairs are permanent.
I agree, Honorable Chairperson. Inkosi agrees.
He stepped aside again, so we must go fetch him, Inkosi.
No, I'm stepped aside. I'm saying, with regard to the first point, whether the changes bring about material changes, I think it would be premature to deal with that issue now before dealing with the text itself. But with regard to the confining us to two subsections, 2 and 3, I wonder whether the lawyers and the legal opinions had regard to the rule of constitutional interpretation, that when you read a document, you read a document as a whole, because if you isolate subsection 2 and 3 and say we are confined to deal with those two, you'll be losing sight of the fact that these sections are intertwined, and therefore they can be dealt with separately or in silos. So I don't know, but I'll leave that matter to the honorable members. But my view is that that legal opinion, in as far as that is concerned, does not stand. Let me open the floor. I'm still here. Honorable members, there are two more issues raised. Whether there is material changes to the bill as published, and secondly, whether we should just focus to two subsections in isolation from other subsections. What is your take on that? Do we still have members?
Chair, I have raised my hand, Dr. Lotrit.
Okay, proceed, Dr. Lotrit.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon to everyone. Chair, thank you very much for the dealing with the legal opinion right at the start. This is something that we also wanted to do at the last meeting. Proper. So we are very glad that the letter from the Chair of Chair directed us to do this. Chair, in the whole, we agree with the legal opinion. We agree with the fact that it is quite specific and clearly sets out the mandate of this particular committee and also states that we have to deal with subsections 2 and 3, which is quite correct. And then furthermore, on the matter that you raised about the interpretation, obviously one looks at the whole of section 25, but one's focus for amendment falls within the actual mandate, because the mandate is not to change everything, but to focus on the specific mandate. And therefore, one looks at the whole section as a background, but the actual amendments has to focus on what we have in the bill. And I think that going anywhere further, for example, what has been mentioned in this committee about 25-7 and so forth, that would extend and exceed our mandate and would be absolutely substantial amendments, which does not fall within the ambit of this particular mandate of this committee. Thank you. So we, in conclusion then, support the legal opinion as provided.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Lotus and Honorable Shibambu.
No, Chair, my observations about the legal office has not changed, and I think it's been justified now, because we come to a meeting here which does not have the legal office giving us an opinion, and then it's just inserted now because they wrote a letter to us. We didn't invite them. This question has been discussed before. Before we started this discussion, we entertained that. This is not being said for the first time. And we took a resolution as a committee that let's proceed to discuss the entire section 25. That is what we agreed. That is why we even say that there must be bilateral agreements in terms of this engagement. And there's no other way to characterize this except to say that it's an attempt to hijack and abduct the process in a manner that is reactionary, and it fits perfectly well into the agenda of right-wing forces that do not want to amend the constitution to permit for expropriation of land without compensation. And that is a legitimate argument to make. Now, let's take you back again, and I'll do this again on several occasions. Like the back office of this committee has circulated the original resolution of Parliament in terms of what we resolved first when we're establishing the Constitutional Review Committee in terms of what happened. We then said that we should review the Parliament, the National Assembly resolved that we are instructing the Constitutional Review Committee one to review and amend Section 25 of the Constitution to make it possible for the state to appropriate land in the public interest without compensation, and in the process conduct public hearings to get the views of ordinary South Africans, policymakers, civil society organizations, and academics about the necessity of and mechanisms of expropriating land without compensation. And then it said that to propose the necessary constitutional amendment with regards to the kind of future land tenure regime needed, taking into account the necessity of the state being a custodian of all South African land. And then that time, the third component was to say that the report was due on the first context on the 30th of August 2018. That is what was the result. And I remember very well that in that discussion, that amendment and all those amendments were made that time by the House Chair Togodidisa before she was a minister, to say that this is the framework of what we then have to deal with in that context. And the establishment of these committees, even the resolution of Parliament, when we're establishing these things of making implicit what is implicit, which I think is nonsensical, said that in deliberating on all these issues, we must take into regard what was resolved and recommended by the Constitutional Review Committee. How on earth do we waste a lot of resources doing public consultations, receiving substantial submissions on the entirety of Section 25, receiving written submissions on the entirety of Section 25, and then the so-called legal office doesn't say anything that, yeah, you're not considering that you're only limited to Section 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. Don't listen to the other things. We have listened to the people on the entirety of Section 25, and now we're told that we must only focus on subsection 2 and 3. Now, the distortion, the abduction of this process happened with the draft bill itself, which deliberately and purposely reduced our deliberations to subsections 2 and 3 and not focus on the intersections, because all these sections and subsections are interrelated. And Parliament's intention and directive was that we must review the entire Section 25 so that we can make it permissible for expropriation and repossession of land without compensation. But now we're being told at the tail end that what you have been doing basically is absolute nonsense. It's rubbish. You have been listening to wrong things. You must just focus on the reductionist approach of subsection 2 and 3, which if we do that without looking into the entirety of the section will amount to nothing. Will amount to absolutely nothing. Then it's an attempt to collapse this process. And we have resolved on this chair. I don't know why we're entertaining it again. Let's reject with contempt the attempts of the legal office to again distort the process that has been engaged in. I don't know why they are even allowed in these meetings. They must go and focus on other things there, and then we'll continue to deal with these issues as the people who have been elected to represent this question. We're elected on the manifestos which say that we're going to expropriate land without compensation, both ourselves and yourselves in the African National Congress. That is the mandate that you went to seek from the people. That is a mandate of now more than two-thirds of the voters in South Africa that say that go to parliament to change the constitution for expropriation of land without compensation. And now we're being infiltrated by wrong forces that want to distort the mission of our agenda. Thank you very much, Chair. I think let's reject this thing and proceed, because in any way, we're resolved on this.
I just want to place it on record that we have the absolute right to accept or reject any opinion given to us. But we don't have the right to characterize the providers of legal opinions or define them as this or that or cast aspersions on them. I don't think that does not add value. It actually just creates unnecessary tensions, because the people that the lawyers that are advising us have their integrity, professional integrity to protect, and they also have the right to be wrong. And if they are wrong, it doesn't mean that they have an agenda other than their duties and responsibilities in terms of their appointment. But having said that, let me allow Honorable Gumede to proceed. Honorable Gumede? Honorable Gumede? Let me take...
Yes, am I audible?
Yeah, now you are audible.
Yes, Chair. If you may allow Honorable Dibulelo, I've seen she had her hand before me.
No, that's fine. Honorable Dibulelo, DK?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good afternoon, colleagues. Chair, I think firstly you had indicated that maybe Dr. Tuli could come on board just to indicate whether the changes that we ought to make on the constitution, on Section 25, as per submissions of different political parties, which are not necessarily subjected to subsection 2 and 3. Are they, or will they be seen as making material changes on the document, on the constitution, as per the legal advice? Because I think if the changes are not of extreme material changes, it is something else. But, Chair, on the same note, I would like us as a committee to go back to the recording when this bill was agreed to. Because I think the legal staff, I would put it like that, they were part of the process. They listened to us when we were speaking, when we were making contributions on numerous, making inputs as different political parties. And I think they were there when we were agreeing in principle on certain arrangements in that meeting. The question is, why were they fired at that time? I'm quite intrigued as well, Chair, without necessarily casting aspersions on anyone. But there was a particular understanding, because I'm speaking on behalf of the African National Congress, that in that meeting, we even gave them our own submission prior to the bill being released. Because like you are indicating, each and every subsection narrates a particular story which is interrelated to another section. So for us to be subjected to 2 and 3 is extremely unfair and is extremely prejudiced to a large extent. to say after such a lengthy process that has costed Parliament so much money, and at the very tail end, second last day before our mandate comes to an end, we are told that we are going to be subjected to two subsections. It's quite intriguing, and I do not think I agree with this particular approach. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mahlatse. Honourable Gumede. I mean a meeting.
Chairperson, you need to unmute yourself.
Honorable Gumede. Now that Honorable Gumede is not yet there, I'll take Wayne Maxim Spring.
Chair.
Yes.
I'm here.
No, proceed, Honorable Gumede.
There are people that are talking at the background. I don't know who those people are.
Don't worry.
The first opinion is correct. But what the legal service has not said, from my own opinion, in order to effect their opinion, it does talk about going back to the community for an extension of something. I think they'll have to be clear so that we understand all these things. So I will expect them to guide us on those matters. That's one. Two, I wish to echo the very same sentiments, Chair, that there is no one at this stage who is obliged to accept the legal opinion from the legal services, right? However, want to ask the legal services that in their understanding and the interpretation of these sections as presented to us, do they impact on other subsequent sections? If the answer is yes, how do they advise? If the answer is no, then at least it means it will be left like that. But further recommend, Chair, so that we minimize unnecessarily debates. I'm not sure whether members were ready, not ready. It will be better at the end of the meeting, Chair, that you just ask each and every party to submit to you as the Chair, so that all those comments, amendments, they then be taken to legal services. I find it difficult for them, because if taking comments that are far apart, and at times you try to be neutral, you find that other people don't get accommodated. As a result, they feel uncomfortable about the situation. So may I stop there, Chair? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede. Honorable Lesuma.
Thank you, Honorable. I thought you were going to take Honorable Wayne's drink.
I'm sorry. Yes, you are right. Thank you. My Honorable Wayne.
thank you, Chair. I think my input is simple, Chair. One calls for legal opinion, and this happens across the board. It happens in all committees, and obviously where there is some consternation or where there is some indecision or some uncertainty, you call for legal opinion to assist in terms of the way forward. Whether one agrees or not, I think that the legal team actually does what they are called to do and mandated to do. So the ACDP agrees with the legal opinion that we've received this morning. And secondly, Chair, I think as you've correctly indicated after the Honorable Shivambu spoke, it is disingenuous for anyone when an opinion differs to that of yours, when an opinion differs to your particular outlook, then to begin to cast aspersions on the individuals that are actually presenting the legal opinion. Chair, it should not happen. You know, if we begin to call other members, you know, counter-revolutionaries, and we begin to cast aspersions and call them names, we will be called out of order. And I think that the same should be said, Chair, that when we have opinions that differ to ours, we certainly have to mind our language and not cast negative aspersions to those who are bringing an opinion which is different to yours. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Wayne, I want to agree with you and say that I have no doubt that all political parties represented in this ad hoc committee, they have their own lawyers, and the opinions they get from their lawyers will not necessarily be the same as the opinion of the parliamentary legal services. So let's agree that there will always be a diversity of legal opinions, and that does not qualify us then to cast aspersions on anyone. Honorable Lesuma?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, colleagues. Probably, Chair, building from the point without being repeating ourselves from what Honorable Matlatsi and Komede raised, we have been on this road of arguing the issue that why do we look at Section 25 and sub clauses in isolation from each other. But what is critical, appreciating that with the compromise that we made for allowing the bill to go out for public participation processes, unfortunately, we're not advised that legally we are binding ourselves and we'll be stuck with that. We went and agreed to that compromise in good faith, thinking that as we come back from the public participation processes, we will then respect the views that we have presented out at the public participation processes as well. Secondly, Chair, borrowing from the other legal arguments, with a case that I can just make an example with, that Parliament, my understanding, that Parliament and the court have also made determination on that we must show good cause and reason why we should not, or we should ignore public opinions as it were. That's one. Which for now, the argument that which was the case between Lamusa and the chairperson of the NCOP, a 2016 case, and Dr. case in 1996, which was, we're using the same constitution writing, but also with an argument that the court stated loud and clear that we must take the opinion and the views that would have gathered from the public participation processes. Because if you listen carefully, while I'm not saying our parliamentary legal advice is not correct, but it's arguable, they are not telling us that what happens and what reasons that are we going to advance to say that we disregard what public participation processes came up with. So which means, Ganke, for me, it will say that in line with Rule 286, this issue, then my argument comes in. If that allows us to say we can go beyond the mandate, which I think partially last week they did say it. Unfortunately, this time they didn't want to make any emphasis on that. The implications of us then, if we go beyond what we went out for public participation processes, notwithstanding what communities have said, what is the quickest route that we need to do? Because I don't see that one coming, and we've been repeating ourselves and venting our frustrations that why do we get locked in on certain subsections, whereas we believe because even the preamble of the object of the bill also talks to that. If you then don't look at the holistic section 25 and select deliberately for some sections, you are not dealing with the whole section 25 as it were. So if we can be given a guidance on that, and how do we, without undermining parliament and public participation processes, how do we then see our intended to see the reflection that we look the whole sub clauses as it were. So one would be happy if they respond, they talk to that as well. But taking into account the court has done its determination on that space. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. I will allow Honorable Shibambo and I'll make a ruling and we proceed.
No, Chair, like there is absolutely nothing wrong for us to observe and correctly observe that this kind of legal opinion, which comes at the tail end of this process, is bordering on gross misconduct by the legal office, because they have seen this process unfold in terms of what has been happening, the public hearings, the oral submissions, the written submissions. They've seen this process unfold. Nowhere in that process did they come to say that you are listening to a wrong process, you are entertaining something wrong. They leave it until the tail end when Parliament has utilized a lot of resources, and then they come to us and say that if you want to do what you have been doing throughout, if you want to now process the submissions that have come on the entire Section 25, you need to go back to do what you did before. So their intervention now amounts to gross misconduct. That is what it is. And I characterize it as an infiltration before, but this is something else which I said yesterday in the National Assembly Programming Committee that we're going to lodge an official complaint concerning this, because I detected so much earlier that this is where we're being led to say that don't proceed with this process. If you want to proceed, go back to Parliament, redraft the Constitutional Amendment Bill, and then go back to public hearings and oral submissions, which is a cumbersome, long process, which otherwise we have handled. Our people are going to say that, but we told you what to do. Why are you coming back to us? We told you that this thing of 1913 limitation is problematic. Why are you coming back to us? But we are being limited now in this particular context due to either infiltration or gross misconduct by those that are concerned. Why didn't they question us in the beginning if they're genuine about it? And there is nothing wrong with observing that. It is not misconduct. It is not wrong. It is not out of order to identify wrongdoing by the legal office of Parliament. There is nothing wrong with identifying that. We have done that several occasions to say that you have been guiding us. And that is our observation that we have to then deal with much more honestly. Because what they are basically saying is that go back to Parliament and say that we want to amend the entire section, and then they will redraft the entire constitutional amendment bill, go back to public hearings. We're not going to resolve this issue within the time period that we have done. And I can tell you now that when we proceed, I'm finishing now. I can tell you that if we proceed to amend the entire section, they are going to be part of those who are going to challenge this constitutional. They're going to reinforce. They are doing this to prepare for the constitutional challenge to this process that we're engaged in. They're going to be the ones who are going to oppose us at the courts to say that now we told them that they must not amend the entire section and everything else because of some mechanical issues which they didn't raise earlier. This amounts to misconduct, definitely, and we cannot be assumed to say that in this particular platform.
Thank you, Honorable Shibambo, and Honorable Dr. Lotus.
Thank you, Chairperson. I know that you want to make a ruling, but I do feel it is important to put this on the record. I refer to the opinion provided by the Legal Services, page 1, paragraph 1, introduction. Our office has been requested by the Ad Hoc Committee on the Amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution to provide legal advice on whether the committee may make further changes to the current draft of the 18th Constitutional Amendment Bill. So therefore, Chairperson, this was a request issued by this committee, and it was not the legal services interfering from their part. I think it is very important that we state this in the minutes of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutris. Dr. Milder, Honorable Milder.
Honorable Chairperson, my apology for only participating now. I was involved in the debate in the House on the anniversary of the Constitution, 25 years, so my apology for only getting involved now. The point that Honorable Dr. Lutheridge has just made is absolutely correct. I was going to make the same point, that the legal services didn't act on their own. They were requested to do so by the committee. They gave an opinion. But I'm really concerned about what Honorable Shivambu has just now said again, Chairperson. We had a discussion in the programming committee yesterday morning about this. As Mr. Shivambu was clearly told that he cannot cast aspersions on officials of parliament who are not there to defend themselves. They are not members of the committee. They are not members of parliament who are in a position to defend themselves. And despite that fact, Mr. Shivambu has just now once again did exactly the same. He's making the following statement. He says, the legal department of parliament as an institution, either they've been incompetent or they are guilty of huge misconduct. Those are his words. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Shivambu, words have implications and words have complications and words have meaning. So, Chairperson, I would like to request you to, despite the fact that you did so last week to inform the House Chair in terms of responsible for committee, to do so once again. And to bring this to the attention of Honorable Speaker, we cannot allow that this kind of thing is tolerated in committees of Parliament. Because if that's the case, we might as well dissolve the legal department of Parliament, because now anyone can come at any stage and launch a huge attack on legal services. If the EFF differs with this legal opinion, go and get your own. Bring your own arguments. Convince us that you've got superior arguments, as you sometimes say. But you don't have. So with all due respect, Chairperson, I want you to report this once again to the House Chair and to Madam Speaker, and I suggest that appropriate steps are taken to members who misuse their position to cast aspersions on the officials of Parliament. Thank you.
I think what was just said is absolute rubbish.
Well, luckily, that's your view. Most of what you're saying is exactly the same.
Here, on the point of order, Chair. Chair, on a point of order. Point of order, Chair.
He has the chair stepped aside. Uthe makabe buqala.
Hello, I'm saying.
Chair, I call a point of order, Chair.
Honorable members, this is the most serious issue that we are dealing with. So let's not be making jokes about this, because these jokes will go to the public. If something goes wrong, they will say members of this committee were playful during the meeting. Please, let's maintain the decorum of this committee. Honorable Wayne, proceed.
Chair, I think it's absolutely important that we respect the decorum of this particular committee, and that we have members that are disciplined in terms of their approach, disciplined in terms of their speech, and disciplined in terms of respecting the chair. When Honorable Shivambu spoke, we listened to him, raised points of order, and that after he had spoken. But again, Honorable Shivambu, after Honorable Mulder spoke, without your permission, uses the mic and again calls what Honorable Mulder said rubbish. If he disagrees, he can do so once he has your permission to actually do so. But again, it cannot be tolerated, Chair. And I agree with you, we are dealing with a serious issue. And this requires the discipline of all members of this particular committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Wayne. I just want to repeat again that these allegations made and some of the language that is made are not acceptable unless they are fully substantiated. And this is not the platform for such substantiation. So what I will do, although this I have already escalated this matter to the Office of the Chair of Chairs, Honorable Cedric Frolic, I will do so again because these matters have come back to haunt us again. So let's leave the matters there and go to the business of the day. With regard to the business of the day, I want to agree with the Honorable Shibambo that and others that in previous meetings, we agreed that we are going to look at Section 25 holistically or as a whole, because the subsections are interrelated and intertwined. That is a decision. So we are not going to move away for that decision for the purpose of our deliberations today. Now, there's also an issue that if legal services were advising us, when we adopted the draft bill, why didn't they alert us to the limitations, the limitation on the scope of our work? But I want to go back to remind ourselves that the circumstances under which the draft bill was amended were such that a compromise was required to enable us to kickstart the process. And when we adopted the compromise, we did not consider the positions of all the parties. And therefore, one could say that the adoption of the amendment, the draft amendment bill, was done with a clear understanding that we have not had all the parties, and therefore we cannot, you know, paint ourselves into a corner because of that compromise draft bill. But even more important, our democracy is a representative and participatory democracy. As I always said, as members of parliament, we don't have the monopoly of wisdom. And that's why our democracy says we may think what we want to think, we may can jump to conclusions or come to conclusions, but the people are the final arbiter. So we are obliged by the Constitution to go back to the people. Now, we cannot go back to the people after they have expressed themselves and we ignore what they have said and proceed as if the people do not exist. And for that reason, I am also of the view that confining this committee to subsections 2 and 3 would defeat the purpose of participatory democracy. And I don't think that any court can come to the conclusion that we have the monopoly of wisdom as members of parliament, that the public don't matter. And that's why some laws were struck down by the courts on the basis that there were no sufficient consultation. And that means that the consultation with the people is an essential element of the work that we do. And therefore, let's not cast aspersions on anyone, but as this committee, we have agreed that we look at Section 25 as a whole, and we must therefore proceed as such. Now, the other matter, therefore, is I think Dr. Mulder express it well to say anybody who wants another opinion, we are all free to go and seek opinions, but we must respect all opinions whether we agree with them or don't agree with them. Now, having said that, I think now we are in a position to say to the legal parliamentary legal services, have you produced a draft, a new draft bill, informed by your opinion?
Chairperson, yes. If I may be allowed to respond just to the questions that were made, and I will also respond to your last question. Chairperson, just firstly, our opinion, and from the presentation made by Ms. Ali Starkey, we have never said that this committee is restricted to subsections 2 and subsection 3. We have indicated that this committee may make amendments to the bill that is before it. That was also indicated last week by Mr. Bonai when he advised the committee on the process of considering the bill. This committee may make other amendments to the bill that is before it. That is what the National Assembly rules say. The National Assembly rules, as well as the Constitution, however, also provides for if such amendments are to be made. So Chair, members indicate that they can make amendments and that we are saying that they are limited. No, that is not correct. What we are saying is this committee can make amendments, but there is a process that must be followed in accordance with the Constitution as well as the Assembly. Chair, when we drafted the bill, we just got the instructions of this committee. The committee only instructed us to make the relevant amendments currently. That was presented to the committee discussed that bill before it decided to publish the bill. On the day where the decision was made, further amendments were proposed and discussed by the committee. The decision taken by this committee, as was pointed out, was a compromise, and the bill was published as is. At that point in time, that bill complied with constitutional principles, it complied with the National Assembly rules, it complied with the Constitution. We will point out to this committee, and we will alert this committee, if something is being done by this committee that would make this bill unconstitutional or unprocedurally in terms of the National Assembly rules. Other than that, we act only on the instructions of this committee. The question on what must be done if there are further amendments made, and that is exactly then where our opinion continues. It says that if we look at the court cases, if something is substantial, if it's simply a technical amendment, we do not have to go back to the public. If it is something that is substantial, if it extends the scope of the bill, then we have to go back to the public. And then on advice from the National Assembly table, it would be safe for this committee to go back to the House and request for further to extend the scope of this bill. So there are no limitations on this committee, Chair. It's simply a legislative process that is set out in the Constitution and in the National Assembly rules. The question on whether Section 25 impacts on other subsections, the bill as it is, and subsection 3, if it impacts on other sections of section 25. Okay, as you have said, you must read the whole section 25 as a whole. But when it comes to what we were instructed to do, namely to make explicit what is implicit in section 25 related to no compensation for land reform, the only required amendment that we could identify was to subsection 2 and to subsection 3. In respect of that subject matter, there are no further amendments required. So the same goes in respect of the process forward, in respect of either extending the scope of the bill, if there's a substantive amendment, that we will have to go back to in terms of 59 and 74.5, as well as the number of court cases that we have quoted. Honourable Lesoma also referred to the Mosa case, which confirms Dr. Solai. And then, Chair, on your question of whether we have drafted any other bill, Chair, we are still waiting for instructions. At this point in time, members have been doing bilateral talks, and If the committee now goes through the bill and give us instructions on what to draft, then we can start and do and develop any amendments. If the committee decides that there must be amendments, in other words, that the bill should not read as it is at the moment, as you said, the text of the bill, then we will receive those instructions today. We cannot simply draft without instructions. We cannot do that. Chair, I think my colleague Ms. Hallie Starkey just also has one or two questions that she would like to respond to.
Okay. Ms. Hallie?
Afternoon, Chair. No, I think you handled most of it, Charmaine, at the Plan de Mava. The only question that I wanted to deal with was that yes, basically, in order to amend the current version of the bill, we need to follow the rules, we need to approach the House for permission, we need to extend the mandate. And then just to also point out to the committee that when the first draft was presented to the committee, we had explained that we had drafted on instruction from the committee and within the mandate that was currently before the committee. So to reiterate what Agatha Mava said, the committee can extend, can alter the current draft of the bill, but you must go back to the House to ask for permission to extend your mandate. And then just to touch on what the material and substantial changes, where there are material and substantive changes, only those will be advertised. So it's not that there has to be an extensive public participation process again, it just needs to have a public participation process on those material and substantive changes. And that's the only thing that I wanted to clarify. I hope I haven't missed anything.
Thank you. Let me say the following. As lawyers, you identified that changes are not only required in regards to subsection 2 and 3, as lawyers. But as members of parliament, and in terms of the constitution of this country, we were required to go and conduct public hearings. And from public hearings, it became quite clear that the people want changes, want us to make explicit what is not explicit, what is implicit with regard to Section 25. And we came back and we say that Section 25 must be read as a whole or a holistic. So on that score, I want to say that I think I agree with honorable members that we have to look at the section holistically, and that's how we are going to proceed. And then with regards to the question of waiting for of the mandate when we did the draft bill, I want to agree with yourselves, Advocate Van der Merwe and Advocate Hallie, that we instructed you. You got the mandate from us, but the mandate was informed by a compromise. And therefore, we cannot allow that compromise to compromise the will of the people of South Africa. And therefore, we are going to proceed on the basis which you have made, that we are not limited to subsection 2 and 3. And I want to go further that if the House wants us to seek an extension, we have no time to go to the House. We are going to address the draft bill and produce a report. And then if the House thinks that we were out of order, then they will call us to order at that point. But now we are at a stage where we have no other business than to look at the text. And also, we are not going to wait for the text produced by legal services, because they haven't done it, because we have not instructed them. But the various political parties, I guess, they've engaged with the text and should be able to make contributions which will take us to one conclusion or the other. So can I open the floor for those who want to address us on the text? Honorable members, Sally, honorable members. There's no members. I'm recruiting members from the street.
Chairperson,
hello, Dr. Mulder. Yes.
And I'm just saying we can hear you, Chairperson. You don't have to. You're not kicked out.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that accommodation. Can you proceed? Anyone who wants to address us on the text now, not the politics of the text itself. Honorable Dr. Lotris.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't want to address you on the text right now. I just want to place on record that we support the recommendations of the legal opinion and that what we are doing now and the approach that you are suggesting is ultra vires. So please, we would like that to be minuted and to be on the record. Thank you.
There will be many opinions in this meeting. And if we are going to be recording opinions, because what we must record is what the majority are saying. But the minutes, the recording, will anyway, the opinions will be captured, but we're not going to make resolutions on the basis of individual opinions. Honorable Shibambo?
No, thanks, Chair. I'm going to read very slowly the proposed amendment, and I must indicate that we had not concluded our bilaterals with the ruling party. We had two meetings. And there are some areas which we had agreement on, and some we had not finalized in terms of what should be done. But this is the property clause as is our proposal. That you remember that in our first submission we had said that subsection 1 should be amended to include a sentence that says the provision can be utilized for land reform and redistribution purposes. There's no need to do that in terms of our current submission. So subsection 1 can be retained as is, and then subsection 2 must read as follows, that property may be expropriated without compensation, A, only in terms of law of general application, and B, for a public purpose and in a public interest. And we are proposing that subsection 3 must be completely deleted. And then that the new subsection 3, which is the current subsection 4, it must read as follows, that for the purposes of this section, the public interest include the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to South Africa's natural resources. And B, property is not limited to land. And then we're then proposing a new C, under the current subsection 4, which will read as follows, to say land is a natural resource and a common heritage which belongs to all the people as a whole under the custodianship of the state. So that is our new submission in terms of reference. And then our subsection 4, which is the current subsection 5 because of deleted 3, will say that the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures which enables state custodianship and for citizens to gain access to land on an equitable basis. And then subsection 5, where the new one will say, a person or community whose tenure of land is legally insecure as a result of past racial discrimination laws or practices is entitled to the extent provided by an act of parliament, either to tenure which is legally secure or to comparable redress. And then the now redrafted subsection 7 will say a person or community dispossessed of property as a result of past racially discriminatory laws or practices is entitled in the extent provided by an act of parliament, either to restitution of that property or to equitable redress. And then subsection 7, which is the current 8, says that no provision of these sections may impede the state from taking legislative and other measures to achieve land, water, and related reform in order to redress the results of past racial discrimination, provided that any departure from the provisions of this section is in accordance with the provisions of section 36(1). And that Parliament must enact the legislation, that is subsection 8, which is not currently 9. Parliament must enact the legislation referred to in this section. And take note, Chair, that we removed the date in subsection 7 of 19 June 1913 to holistically say that those that have been dispossessed of land due to racial discrimination should be entitled for restitution. And then we then say that custodianship should be established in section 25 of the Constitution, and that the context of the custodianship should be through a law of general application which Parliament must pass. And the law of general application will always clarify the redistribution rules of different spheres and layers of government in terms of who is responsible for what. And we have always indicated that there is currently land that is under the custodianship of the state. That includes forestry lands and agricultural land, land that is owned by public works, special economic zones, and a variety of other land pieces and parcels which are being given to people for use purposes, with the proviso that if you do not use it, you lose it. So that is the principle which we think should be established in the constitutional amendment. And of course, that must guarantee security of tenure for those that are given land user rights, which is legally defined through a law of general application. That is the principle that we are dealing with. And that is, by the way, derived out of the original parliamentary mandate that said that we should look into land tenure and the state being the custodian of all South Africa's land. And let's clarify something, Chair, which I think in the last meeting, because of the network challenges, I was unable to be heard clearly, that there's a strong distinction between state custodianship and nationalization of the land. And the Agri-SA versus the Minister of Mineral Resources dealt with that question when they ruled on the MPRDA case. And almost the entire constitutional court agreed that custodianship is distinct from nationalization, because nationalization will mean that the state can change user rights as and when it wishes, because it would be owning the land just fully. But custodianship says that it is holding on behalf of the people. And once it gives land for use purposes, there must be clear principles that guarantees security of tenure, with the clear principles on how do you repossess if what the land was given for is not being utilized meaningfully. And the purpose of the custodianship is then to be able to give the state a space to play a much more distributive role in terms of equal allocation of land to all the people of South Africa. 72% of title deeds of arable lands are in the hands of descendants of white colonial settlers. That is what it is. The indigenous Africans only have got less than 4% of title deeds in South Africa. So no one must try to sensationalize that you want to dispossess all of the land. We're not disposing anyone of the land. We're making the state to be the custodian, and then so that we can redistribute it equitably for the benefit of all the people of South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shibambo. I really must thank you for having done your own homework. And I see that you say you had not concluded bilaterals. We'll come back to that question of bilaterals at the end. But for now, I want to hear other parties who want to comment on what we have said or who wants to put their own proposals. And the purpose of the exercise, let me put it up front, would be that we record areas of agreements and disagreements. If at the end there's no agreement on issues, we will have to have constitutional options to say we have the following options, and then we can also subject those options to further bilaterals before Monday. Thank you. Any taker? I guess this is not a one-man committee. Honorable Suma?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. It's just that as the ANC, we are not too sure whether we need to repeat ourselves because we did present our suggested text, as it were, last week, and the minutes, they do reflect that. Unless you direct us, then I will make a plea with Comrade Cyril to repeat himself again for record purposes of today's meeting.
I would actually prefer that we repeat that because now we're at a final stage to refresh everybody's memory of what we presented. Is Comrade Cyril there?
He's here, Chair. Notwithstanding that, we're not saying anything in terms of subsection 7. He will repeat the rest then. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Comrade Cyril? Honorable Kawa? Honorable Kawa?
Yes, hello.
The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Sorry. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not in my usual place. I'm at the hotel in Joburg. Our position with respect to, let me say we are still in discussions with political parties. It's just that we've now run out of time. Maybe what we should do is to then say, what are we going to do with that? Because we have run out of time. And the EFF and the ANC are slowly coming. Of course, we're still working on our differences. And I'm still hopeful that we will succeed in actually narrowing the gap between the two political parties. In our meeting with the Democratic Alliance, and it appeared that they were not prepared to, review their original stance, their position, but in fact, they don't see any need of amending section 25, and that they believe that section 25 as it stands can actually deliver on what we want to achieve. It was precisely because of that argument. And where many people were saying there's no need to change section 25, and that section 25 as it stands, and will give us the results. All we need to do is to it's will, as they are saying it. There must be will, and that we must act with speed and the urgency that it needs or it demands. Now, so in that situation, it's either we move to them because they don't want to move to us. In the situation of, you know, Moses going to the mountain, and the mountain not prepared to make any move. We were really prepared to accommodate them, but it's clear that they are not willing to rediscuss their own position. So that's the situation that we are actually sitting with. And but we have not lost hope that they will change their position and start to move towards us. Even if they don't come closer to us, as long as they show some seriousness in terms of you know, wanting to find a solution to this, we will definitely you know, make a find a common middle ground between the two parties. So we are looking on one side. We are looking on one side. We're looking at the EFF, on the other with the DA, but we are also talking to other parties as well. So I don't know where that puts us now that we have run out of time. Today we are preparing a report. Maybe our report, Chair, must state that we have this legal opinion that says what it says. We've debated that earlier on. And then too, that the parties are still, at the moment, we don't have the necessary majority to approve the text, and that we still need more time to discuss the issue. Let me leave it at that, Chair. I'm not too sure if I was helpful.
I give you the benefit of the doubt because you came in late. Before you came, we agreed that today we are going to address the text, trusting that the contributions by members will be informed by the bilaterals, but also taking into account the fact that bilaterals were not complete, but we think we can still find some space to get bilaterals completed before Monday next week. So what we want, we were requesting from yourselves is either to comment on the substance of what the EFF has placed on the table, or to repeat your own submission to refresh the memory of other members that are here, so that we shouldn't just say you are moving towards each other, but we must listen to the submission and make up our minds that indeed we are moving towards each other. Honorable Lesuma? Honorable Lesuma?
No, Chair, my hand is not up. I thought we were going to allow Honorable Cyril then to continue in that vein.
Oh, yes, I just wanted that confirmation that we want Honorable Kaba to continue and refresh our minds on the ANC position.
Yes, Comrade Chair, on Section 25.1, the ANC position is that this section must remain as is, and that on Section 25.2, two A must remain as is, and then 2B. And we must remove any reference to court, not that we are ousting the role of the court. The court has its own constitutional role, but we didn't think that it should come in at a primary stage and determine the amount of compensation to be needed, or whatever compensation that may be. We didn't think that that is the court's role, and that would be judicial overreach. And but if there is agreement between the parties, the expropriated body and the expropriated person, the matter ends there. The payment is made. But if any of the parties to the agreement is not happy with the amount of compensation, and then that person may actually approach the court may invite the court to come in and adjudicate over the matter. So the court will retain its review power. So that's the thing. And that on section 25, and then we proposed, and then on section 3A, the capital 3A, we are again making the same appeal that we remove any reference to the court, and one, and that circumstances, specific circumstances must be changed to circumstances. In other words, we remove the word specific and retain the word circumstances. That's our proposal, and that we are in discussion with respect to other sections. Section 25.4, we're looking at that as well. We're also looking at amending section 25.5, but 25.6, we retain...
Honorable Kaba.
Yes, sir.
We respect the fact that you are still in discussion, but today we want a report as to the status as of now. And obviously that status will change subject to a further discussion. But now we want what is your position on this on each of these sections.
All right. I don't hear okay. You, sir. I don't hear you, sir.
No, I was saying, am I clear what I'm trying to say? I'm just saying, give us the position as of now, with the understanding that further bilaterals may change that position, but we want to know the position now.
Okay. So on 25.4, we are proposing that sorry, Chair, let me just open my my document. My apologies for this. I was not ready for this exercise. All right. Okay. On 25.1, right? We wanted to retain it, right?
Yeah.
It is, but we were willing to make some compromises, and but on condition that whatever amendment we make to section 25.1, it makes it explicit what is implicit, all right? So that's the point. And then 25.2b, I've just explained what our position is in relation to that. And 25.3a, I've just stated what our position is in relation to that. and that there is a discussion, and that is this 25-4 is under discussion, and what is being proposed is that
Hello, is there a point of order?
Yeah, and with due respect, and I understand what Comrade Cyril is doing, and he is correct that majority of the areas which he has to present on now, there's no finality on that. Can we please discuss these things on Monday again?
No,
with the ANC, we'll meet again on Sunday to finalize.
If we don't agree,
we don't agree.
Honorable Shibambu, you stated your position clearly for the record. And I want Honorable Kaba to state the ANC position for the record, not place on record conditional positions which depend on further bilaterals. We agree that we want to request the Comrade ANC to repeat the proposal for record. So could we ask Honorable Kaba to proceed and place on record the position?
Yeah, I think they are putting me in a great difficulty now. Our position remains unchanged from the position that we presented previously.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just leave it at that. It's there on record.
Okay. Any other party that wants to make its submission or comment on the submissions of the other two, EFF and ANC? No other party? Honorable Kaba, what is your position on subsection 25-7? Can you refresh our memory?
We have no position at this stage. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable members, is there any other input? Honorable Shibambu, I see your hand.
It's an old hand.
Okay. Now, if there are no other inputs, I propose that...
just a general comment, if I may.
Hand
up. My apologies. No, can I, in your summary that you are going to propose, Chair, would I be wrong to say the land redress issue to address the imbalances of the past is an issue for ANC and EFF only, the other parties, they don't care what happens? Thank you very much.
Honorable Lesuma, your observation, I see Honorable Dr. Melda. Dr. Mulder?
Yes, Chairperson, I don't think we could say that at all. As far as I am concerned, I know that there are all kinds of bilaterals going on, and parties have their different positions, and it seems that the bilaterals have not been finalized, that they need to be concluded over the weekend. And I think it would be a wrong summary to say that the only parties interested in the whole land question would be the ruling party and the EFF. I think all parties are very interested in this, as is the public, and I think we should respect that.
I think Honorable Lesuma, Honorable Melda, I think it's good that he has spoken, because you correctly came to that determination because no one was speaking. But now Honorable Melda has indicated that no, they have an interest. So I think that should put the matter to rest. Honorable Wayne? Honorable Wayne?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think that it's an incorrect assumption or conclusion to arrive to that no other political party is interested in the land question. I think that the position of the ACDP has been clear from the start, and that our position was that we did not feel that the constitution needed to be amended in the first place. Hence, the difficulty of our engagement in actually looking at amendments to the constitution, because we did not feel that that could actually be made. In terms of the redress, the ACDP does believe that in the principle of restitution, but we obviously disagree in the process. And in other words, we don't disagree with the why, but we disagree with the how. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to say that Honorable Lesuma is incorrect to say that it's ANC and EFF that are interested in land reform. We are really interested in land reform, but I think the question is the how, you know. What instrument do you use, you know, to effect the land reform? So I think I just want to make it on record that you understand that we are in this. We definitely believe in the land reform, but we don't think that, you know, you have to lower your bar at constitutional level in order to redress. You have got other means, other instruments that definitely you can use to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lesuma was correct at the time when she spoke, because no other party had raised the hand. But subsequently, when other parties said we are interested, I don't think Honorable Lesuma would be at war with that position. So she was correct then, but now that has been corrected. Honorable Mabula, good to see that you are here. Honorable Braden.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson. How are you?
Well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Honorable Lesuma was mischievous, and I think she knows it. We're all here. We're all interested, and we're here because we're interested, and we've made it very clear that we're interested. Our position is also clear, and we have no amendments to proffer because we don't believe that we should be making amendments. So the fact that we don't suggest amendments certainly can't be construed to say that we're not interested. I'd like that on there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I want to propose the following, that we give instructions to the Parliamentary Legal Services to draft an amendment informed by the debates that have taken place. But the debate may be such that we can have one uniform amendment, that we will have options, that for now they should give us a draft constitutional options that have been emerged this far, and then we allow the political parties to go back and continue the bilaterals until Sunday midday or 1 o'clock, and then we convene a meeting on Monday 9:30, and we may have to meet until 6 in the afternoon to then narrow down the options and seek to really reach consensus, because I think that the emerging positions are that we can find one another. Now, secondly, I want to propose that the committee secretariat should immediately start drafting the report, which will be then improved on the basis of what will come out on Monday by 1 o'clock, and then so that by 6 in the evening, the report is ready for submission to Parliament. So that is my proposed approach to the matters. Honorable Masipa.
I just want to maybe just go back a little bit. The legal guys did indicate, answer us on the issue of whether the bill can be amended beyond the what was advertised. The answer was yes, but it can only be done if there are substantive changes and material changes, then it has to go back to the NA table in order for us to proceed. So I'm just worried because remember what I said previously as well, that Chair, we might be rushing this thing, not following the procedure and be back again for the next 12 months. So I'm just cautioning that, the speed that you are going, Chair, that it might not really end up with the results that really this committee desire. I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it would be premature for us to say that maybe there will be a need to go back to the people or something like that. I think I proposed a process, and that at the end of that process, your concern will be relevant, but at the moment it is not. Honorable Gumede.
I'm not sure whether I'm answered, but I wanted to say to the colleague that in fact he is afraid to say it. It looks as if he is lamenting a kind of an extension. That's what he is lamenting on. Because if he wants that, people will have to be upfront and be frank, rather than they keep quiet, but put an indirect question, which in fact are not satisfying some of the issues that they want to address. So that's what I wanted to comment on, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede, and I agree with you that members must be upfront. They must really make things explicit so that we are all at one. But at the moment, as I said, we are dealing with a process. The process is that we instruct legal services to draft an amendment informed by our discussion. But where it appears that the discussions have generated more than one option, they must list all the constitutional options in the form of a draft bill. And that meanwhile, the committee secretariat must start developing a report which will be amended after Monday's meeting to bring it in line with the thinking as it will be on Monday. But I am quite confident that on Monday we will complete this process. So let's allow you to go back to the trenches and do your work. But I see two hands. The co-host, no, let me take Honorable Suma first.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I just want probably they can do it off the platform to your good self, the advice. That in terms of the processes, technical processes of submitting the reports before the House, our term ends midnight on Monday. So what is the ideal time that we should have concluded this so that we reach that time? Because it will be unfortunate that we send the report or we process the report to the 80 seat, which would be slightly after midnight, which would be the following month, which will have a problem because the meaning of that, which means all the work that we have done in time and energy and brains will go to waste. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you for cautioning us. That's why I want to repeat that. Outstanding bilateral should be completed by noon on Sunday. And then on Monday, we start at 9:30. And I have no doubt that those bilaterals will bring us closer to one another and help us to find one another, so that by before six, we should have completed our work and the report should be ready for adoption, and then we move forward. I'm really happy that this process is going on very well, and I'm very happy that there's no party that is not interested in this process, and therefore we are at one on what we are doing. We may have different opinions, but we have the same commitment to discharge the mandate bestowed on us by Parliament. And I want to repeat that this process is not a process between one or the other party, or one group of parties against another party group, but this is a process that belongs to the people of South Africa as a whole, both black and white. We are just privileged to be presiding over this process, but it is not our process. It is the process of the people of South Africa as a whole, both black and white. And I'm grateful to you that you are taking this matter seriously, and that you have been willing to meet even over weekends to address the issues that are arising. And I also want to wish you well over this weekend, that please intensify your efforts to find one another in the best interest of the people of South Africa as a whole. I thank you. Yes.
Can I just request that Mr. Pava emails us his ANC proposals?
What is that?
I was requesting that the ANC proposals be emailed to us.
Be given to you?
Yes.
Honorable Lesuma?
No, we'll do it again, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. Do it immediately so that they can start drafting the report, and the legal people are duly mandated to start doing their work. I thank you, all of you, and the meeting is adjourned.
Long live the chair.
Recording stopped.
No, thank you, Honorable Madam.